oh, this is a really nice car. Where did you get it from? Like, where can I get one of these cars? Oh, did you know I'm not gay?
It can be whatever Friday I
it's
want.
Not hyperbole okay. Friday. Did you start recording?
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Kendrick.
And we got an Amy in the back.
Yellow.
We've been way out of order, but at this point, it will be a long time ago.
I did start recording, right?
I don't know. This is a cat toy.
Geez. Wow, you just threw that on the ground.
No, it's not thrown.
I threw it on the ground.
It's a cat toy.
That's a finger trap.
No, it's a cat toy because your fingers are too... Okay, yeah. Your fingers are too big for... Oh, yeah, it's a dick trap. Let that sink in a sec.
Yep. I just as soon as you said your fingers are too big, I was like, dick.
Right in there. All right, so I have some stuff to talk about today.
Oh, yeah?
We play a game called Arkham Horror the Card Game. And an Arkham Horror the Card Game...
What kind of game is that? Is that a video game?
Fucking card game. Oh. God damn it. God damn it, Cage!
Okay.
Basically, it's a card game in which you take an investigator in this Arkham Files universe, please, which is set in H.P. Lovecraft's mythos universe in the 20s. Sorry. And you build your character using cards instead of statistics and dice. And it's pretty fun. And you go through the scenarios and level up and figure stuff out. And there's real cool story to it and very fun mechanics. And we play it a lot.
Okay.
Every character... So this Arkham Files universe is very, very, I would say, rich. Fantasy Flight and the people who owned it before did a very good job of fleshing out all the characters and making sure everybody has, like, a backstory and things like that.
Mentaiphon?
Yeah, Mentaiphon.
Mentaiphon!
And a lot of other cool people, like Jibbons and other individuals, Roland Banks. There's a gigantic, source compendium book of, stories on these people that they just published, and there's also lots of novellas and things like that star these characters. So there's, a lot, and each of the characters is reused in all the games, right? So if they introduce a new character, they introduce it to the Arkham Files universe and not just a game.
Ah.
Right, so that character can be in any expansion for any of the games that they make, which is Arkham Horror, Eldritch Horror, all of them have horror in it.
They can be, or they are?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure they are, but I don't want to speak in absolutes. Only a Sith speaks in absolutes.
You just said something in absolutes with saying only a Sith speaks in absolutes.
Why, I said I don't want to speak in absolutes?
But when you said only a Sith speaks in absolutes, that isn't in and of itself an absolute.
No. That's wrong.
Are you a Sith?
Mm-hmm. What?
Okay.
What? Sorry.
Okay.
So you get to see these characters a lot, and in every game they have a little bit of backstory, too. They kind of, if you didn't want to, do that thing where you educate yourself by, reading all of the extended canon, see episode X here, insert X here, about extended canon and our discussion therein.
Oh, I got to put a link into that one?
No, you have to put a voice link so people can click on my voice and then go to the episode. Oh, God, he's touching my face. And so you get little snippets. On the back of the character cards in Arkham Horror, there's little snippets, too. There's once upon a time, so-and-so was drafted in the army. He saw horrible things in World War I and blah, blah, blah. So
saw horrible things in World War II.
Sure.
Which is impressive because that hasn't happened yet.
And so, hey, I was actually right about a historical thing.
No, you got it right. You
woo-hoo!
Did.
Woo-hoo!
And you buried it, and I
everybody take a drink. So...
Alcohol.
So not everybody has... everybody has a story in the big Arkham Compendium book, but not everybody has, novellas and a lot of other shit, right? So there's this character that just came out recently.
Oh,
that his name's Calvin Wright. And he's kind of a weird character because he has no stats to start with, and he actually gets stats by taking damage, which is kind of a cool mechanic. But apparently, it turned out yesterday that someone found out that he was he's a homosexual. Bum, bum.
Where are my pearls?
And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny, and then kind of let it be because it was yesterday, and I didn't. And people were commenting on it, but they're like, representation's good, and I'm like, sure, I'm fine with that. Like,
whatever.
Yeah. Someone wrote a satire article.
Unless there is a romance aspect of the game that doesn't allow for male interactions, I don't know why it's pertinent, but whatever.
So there's other places where it is represented via And there's another character, and then so someone wrote a satire article that Amy, I think you read. Did you read it just now?
Yep.
Okay. Maybe you can summarize it more freshly than me. But he basically wrote a satire article about how what is it? What did he say? Sexual orientation is invading Arkham Horror. Is that the title of the article, Amy? I guess I could be doing it, but this cat toy is very interesting to me.
Dick toy.
It's a cat toy.
Yeah, sexual orientation invading Arkham Horror.
Yeah, and like all capitals and stuff. And it's about it's not about Calvin Harris. It's about a character named Mark Harrigan. And Mark Harrigan is an ex-military guy who did see stuff in World War
I. Can we just take a moment here? This guy looked, turned his turn signal on, and then changed lanes. And then moved to a lane where he's visible.
That's good.
I just want to acknowledge that there are motorcyclists that aren't shitbags.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not, nothing, we don't, only a Sith speaks in absolutes, right?
Only.
So, Mark Harrigan is this ex-military guy, and he was one of the first characters in the Path to Carcosa expansion that came out with a third card that he has to include in his deck. Usually everyone has, like, a special card and a weakness. But this card is a permanent that he starts the game with. So a card that's always out, that's why it's called permanent. And it's a picture of his loving wife. And so he was writing an article in satire about how they're shoving his straightness in your face via that. Like, it's because it's more prevalent than Calvin's backstory that you have to read into,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, they just throw his heterosexuality right in your face.
Yeah, and so I thought it was interesting that someone did that and had the balls to do it. And kind of was, like, doing it in satire. Amy, what did you think of that article?
I thought it was well-written.
Yeah, because it was...
Sounds amusing.
It was kind of flagrant, right? Right? Is that right? It was, like, he was trying to be, like, audacious.
It was satire.
Yeah, okay. So, like, you could really tell, and it was good. But it made me think about it made me think about representation. And it kind of goes right back to your comment before. Like, if there is no sexual aspect in the game... Like, that was your comment to my thing was, if there's no mechanic about having sex with someone in the game, then, or falling in love with someone in the game, or entering a relationship in the game, does representation need to be there?
I'm not saying that it doesn't need to be there. I'm saying that it doesn't. I'm going to walk it back, because okay. I have been stronger opinion on this, and it's changed over the years since we started with Sitsog, I think. But honestly, I'm at the point where, like, I don't care. Call them whatever you want. If someone else feels better for having that kind of character included...
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me that
it's net positive effect.
Well, yeah, exactly, because right? It's totally neutral to me. I don't really care who he diddles. But if someone feels like more attractive,
I'm gonna get fired from writing the Guardians of the Galaxy because I said diddle and kid in the same sentence.
Yep.
Shit. Okay, go ahead.
So I guess my thing is, from the company's perspective, if adding a character like that can get them a better reputation, better, you know, more market share, whatever element that they're shooting for with it, from a purely business standpoint, doesn't bother me.
What about the counter of that? Like, the No Sleep podcast had something like this the other day where people were getting mad that they were including, like, LGBTQ characters in their stories, and they came out and said, we don't really care what you think. If you don't want to listen to the podcast, don't. Like,
well, I mean, I can't imagine that I would... Here's where it... Where I do draw the line is if it's a really shittily shoehorned in character.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't necessarily make sense, but they just jammed that person into the plot and it, like, fucks things up. But you're like,
typically,
like,
I've noticed it's the main character saying, I called my wife because I was very scared, instead of, and yeah. it's a female saying that.
Right.
As opposed to, like, well, someone who's, like, gay for the sake of being gay.
Well, it's, for me, it's, I think it'd be more like, if you were writing an 18th century period piece and someone was transgender and it was, like, not a big deal. Like, oh, yeah, whatever. This is a woman who's a man and that's just how it is. And you're like, oh, that would be a thing. Like, that would culturally have implications.
Yeah, it would make their life harder and all
this stuff. Or something. I don't know. It's there's times where I feel like it's inappropriate when it's just kind of badly written. But then it's not that the character is one quality or demographic or another, it's that it's badly written, right?
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's more at this point in my level of not giving a shit about other people, It's more about how much did you fuck up your writing by trying to shoehorn in some social justice.
So it's a little mix of libertarianism and it's a little mix of, like, don't be a bad writer.
I guess my thing is I don't consume media for its social merit. I prefer to consume media for either the quality of its writing or the badassness of its writing, you know?
Sure.
Like, we were just playing the Bunkers and Badasses expansion of Borderlands 2, which is a ridiculous and insane story. And the way it ends, now that we've got the main story arc, where it all becomes kind of a metaphor for Tina dealing with her grief over Roland dying. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end, you're like, oh, wow. So this stupid little story just kind of hit me in the feels at the end of it. And that's a very powerful moment in what is otherwise a really ridiculous and absurd story.
Sure.
And that, for me, is fantastic game writing, right? That I love that little... I love it so much. It's such a great little expansion and a nice little story wrapped up in a bunch of absurdity and ridiculousness. And there you go. So that to me, is a great story writing. You can fit any characters you want to in around that, and unless it fucks up that story somehow, right?
So yeah, that's if there's a natural point to talk about someone's... It would be like... me, in real life, saying something to you, being like, oh, this is a really nice car, where did you get it from? Like, where can I get one of these cars? Oh, did you know I'm not gay?
Yeah.
Like, completely, kind of out of the blue, then it's, like, bad. And you're like, I understand that representation is necessary, but it's like, no one would actually do that.
I think the biggest struggle for that is that in most normal common, I guess I should say 98% of conversations are not overtly about people's sexuality. They might be covertly or implicitly or, you know, whatever, because, you know, male-female interactions and story writing always have sexual tension because that's how they write stories, et cetera, et cetera. But you don't normally wear your gender and identity as ridiculously obviously over the top on your sleeve.
Yeah.
So it makes it kind of hard, unless you're good at writing, to shoehorn that stuff in without it being... I'm trans.
In Arkham, in the LCG, and like the Cthulhu Mythos in large, it's actually a little easier than people will think. I think because usually your pillars of sanity, the things that keep you chained to the earth and not go crazy, are your relationships with people.
And then that makes sense.
So it makes it easier to incorporate those things. So when you're talking about ease of representation, no one's really pushing any boundaries in bad story. And this isn't a comment towards you; it's a comment off of you. This isn't any comment it's not a great leap in fantastic storytelling to say someone was married to a man instead of a female.
The only point that I would bring up is that this is the 1920s.
Yeah.
Where in the 1920s was it okay to be married?
I don't know if he was married. I'm sorry. It was not
okay.
Married.
So if it, but
I'm just giving an example of you're right. That goes
both ways though, because then if it's pillars of sanity kind of thing, that starts to actually make a much more interesting character, because now you've got the double-edged sword where that's his love interest is what's keeping him sane, but then he also has to keep that secret because he can't expose that. So he's got that extra stress on it, but it's still the only thing that he's keeping him sane.
Yeah.
And so that actually could be even more interesting. Because then you're like, you got anyone waiting for you at home?
Kind of. Don't want to talk about it. Amy, how do you feel about some of the stuff we've said, and how do you feel about gender representation in general, like it in this regards to this kind of Arkham thing?
Well, for Arkham specifically, I read both of the stories for Mark Harrison and
Calvin Wright in the big book
on their cards.
Oh, okay.
And they were actually very similar. So for both of them, like, I think in storytelling, a lot of times you have someone who is someone or something who is your motivation. And so, like, that's true in D&D as well. Like, you pick something that's your motivation. And that's what they seem to have done here. They just picked people. So, for one of them, it was Sophie. And for the other one, it was Jojoa, I think was his name.
Yeah.
Jojo Brown?
And so, they were also pretty similar. Well, they weren't similar stories, but the way that they were written were similar. So, for Calvin, he saw that, like, he had a vision of the world in darkness, and he saw that Jojo is fading into ash, and so, like, he decided to take the darkness inside him so it wouldn't hurt the world or his love. And for
And that's why he's, like, cursed and he has no stats. And there's all this really cool stuff surrounding that in the game, mechanically and thematically. Go ahead.
And then for Calvin, I think he woke up after the war.
Mark Harrigan?
Sophie was gone. So, let's see. His beloved Sophie believed him when he wrote her about the things he saw. And then...
Put your penis in.
She faded away into the air. So they had very similar things happen to their significant others. And I think those are just driving motivators. And to me, that's good storytelling. Because it gives me an idea of why they're fighting for what they want to fight for.
You gotta fight for your right.
For sanity?
You don't have that right.
Oh. Well, I thought that was interesting because I thought the satire was kind of poignant. I'm glad that people still feel like they can do satire in this day and age. And the other part was that they didn't immediately on the Facebook post get like torn up for it. Some people were like, "This is satire," blah blah blah. But like, people were actually enjoying it. They were like, "This is good." I mean, it's good to keep this as kind of like light. You know, doesn't have to be like a fight every time someone mentions something that you don't agree with.
That sounds like progress to me.
It's kind of like heartening, you know? So there you go. It's a good sit talk.
Nice little short one. Why does everyone own a blue Hyundai Elantra as well?
It's not an Elantra.
It's
a Sonata? So sure. If you just like learn, took in like 5 seconds.
You know what? I can't keep track of all your fucking Korean cars. Obviously, I drive a Japanese car, which means I hate all Korean cars.
This is a Japanese car?
Yeah.
Lexus is a Japanese car.
Yeah, it's a Toyota.
That L doesn't look very Japanese.
No, that's probably the worst joke about this whole brand. Is it's Lexus is supposed to sound like luxury or some kind of Greek god, but they picked a letter that they don't pronounce super well because it's pretty clearly it's an export only vehicle. And this is actually based on the Land Cruiser. This is the next version, their version of the Land Cruiser, which is the Japanese version of the Land Rover.
Oh.
So this is basically a Japanese Range Rover.
Okay.
Which would mean it's a Rexus Range Rover.
Boo. Went straight from being positive about a representation to being super racist.
You said Rexus first.
Yeah, but I'm supposed to be that way because I'm an idiot and I'm not very smart. Like, you can't do that.
Technically, the pronunciation is like it's an L, an R, and a D mixed together. So it's like Rexus.
Rexus
Range Rover.
But R's are regular?
No. On the end, you sometimes get a R.
Oh, okay.
Like it'd be swallowed hard in the end. You can listen to pronunciation stuff online.
That's what she said. Swallow hard in the end.
I did that high five under protest.
All right. Well, under duress or under protest?
Both.
Yes.
All right, guys. Like, comment, and subscribe. Yeah. Enjoy the new short format.
Yeah, for next few months.
For a bit. And then who knows?
It'll probably be about 5 minutes longer. Down, down, down.